Right. Yeah, next week we're kicking off a new series for the new year here at Celebration Church called The Awakening, and it's just going to be phenomenal. In that series, you're going to hear a lot of my testimony of how God delivered me out of a lifestyle of drugs and partying, and I was real into cocaine. That's a lot kind of what that video was about. You're actually going to get to see some clips of my old fraternity house and also the place in college where I had an awakening to God. And I think that, a lot of times, especially in church or in Christianity, you know, people kind of look and they see the Bible as, you know, a bunch of rules and all the thou shalt nots. And, you know, where if I'm a Christian, then I'm not supposed to do, you know, this, that, or the other thing. And, but the Bible says, awaken to righteousness and sin not. And there's a lot of people, and they're trying not to sin, but they haven't awakened to righteousness yet. And it doesn't work that way. You've got to awaken to the power and presence of God and have God fill you on the inside to where you desire God more than you desire whatever addiction or whatever is going on wrong in your life. Can I have a good amen to that? I knew serving God was the right thing and I wanted to do that, but man, the drugs made me feel a certain way. And so that's what had the power over me. And it wasn't until I got filled with God and all of a sudden God gave me a high and I desired that high far more better than what the drugs gave me. And that's what awakening to righteousness is all about. And that's what was beautiful about today. It starts with that surrender. And then you pursue God and you put yourself in a position. I'm going to give you a big key to that today. Put yourself in a position where you can really experience the presence and power of God. And what you'll find is God will begin to fill you on the inside and change you from the inside out. And so I'm excited, you know, whatever addiction, whatever you're addicted to, you know, if you have friends or family or whatever, you want to get them here over the next few weeks because we are going to see God do some incredible things in people's lives. And so God's good. Okay. Hey, so but today, guess what I'm talking to you about? Fasting. So get ready. We're embarking on our 21 days of prayer and fasting here at Celebration Church. That begins this Wednesday. As you're leaving, we have a calendar for you. It comes with some instructions on how to begin your fast and the different types of fast, you know, eating only fruits and vegetables or a liquid fast where you just do fruit juices. Don't worry, if you drink coffee, coffee is a bean, so technically that is bean juice. So bean juice does, it's good for you. It's good for fasting. But what I'm hoping is that you will at least participate, whether it's one day a week for the next 3 weeks, 2 days a week. We have a suggestive plan on here. If you want to, you can read this, of how to fast for all 21 days. How to fast for all 21 days, where part of it is fruits and vegetables only, and then another part of it is just fruit juices or liquids. And I'm telling you, I've been doing this for 18 years now. Can you believe it? I'm 38 years old. I've been fasting every year for 18 years now. More supernatural things happen to me in my life and in the people around me when I go into a season of prayer and fasting than any other time. And I'm telling you that God wants to do so many miracles in your life, but for many of us, the problem is we're just not close enough to God from the standpoint of we're not drawing near to God. You know, the Bible says that when we draw near to God, He'll give us the desires of our heart. It's not that God doesn't want to bless us or want to do miracles or anything like that, but it's just we're in a mindset, we're carnally minded like the Bible talks about, and we just don't have the faith to believe God for the things that we need to believe God for. So my prayer is that in some way, shape, or form, one day a week, 2 days a week, all 21 days, we have prayer meetings on Friday night. Those are awesome. Wednesday's a great day to fast. You can fast and then come to church. You talk about an incredible church experience. you come to church on a fast. It is on, man. I'm talking big time. And the ushers will be at all the exits on your way out, and just please take one of these, and it's going to be incredible. So I want to talk to you about fasting for a few minutes. If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 9. I want to just kind of lay a few principles here. I'm just going to kind of teach this morning and lay a few principles about fasting, and then I want to look at 9 supernatural blessings of fasting. So in Matthew chapter 9, in verse 14, Jesus is questioning about fasting. I want to say this right off of the bat. You know, if you're a new Christian or not a Christian yet or whatever, and you might think, well, Stovall, fasting, man, isn't that for like the radicals or the extremists, the fanatics? I mean, that's for like really super spiritual people. I'm telling you that fasting is a normal part of the Christian life. Jesus taught about fasting just like he talked about prayer, just like he taught about giving, just like he talked about forgiving people. He doesn't say if you fast, he says when you fast. And in the Bible, we look at these, it's good to get a snapshot when Jesus is questioned about fasting, because there's always a principle here that God wants to teach us. Remember, in the New Testament, fasting is about getting closer to God. That's why we fast. Fasting is not about, okay, we're sacrificing something, so somehow that's going to twist God's arm, and he's going to come down and do something just because, you know, you didn't eat a cheeseburger or because you gave something up. God says, man, I can't believe you went without that pizza. Okay, there's an extra blessing coming your way. That's works. It's not, you know, like in the Old Testament, God even talks about this. It's not that we get all sad and disfigured and sackcloth and ashes and mourn and all that. That's not what New Testament fasting is all about. New Testament fasting is about turning off our natural appetites to awaken our spiritual appetite for God. It's just about drawing closer to God. It's about getting as close as you can to Jesus. And I'm telling you, when you are close to Jesus, supernatural things happen. Incredible things happen. It's not about just giving something up, from a sacrifice standpoint and thinking that God's going to do something just because of that. You know, I'm from South Louisiana. And have you ever heard of Mardi Gras? Don't go there. Okay, so a lot of my previous lifestyle that you heard about that, well, obviously for me, I mean, Mardi Gras used to be a highlight of the year. And you go to New Orleans for a week. I'm not really sure what happened down there. And you kind of wake up a week later. It's like this just huge, big, drunk party fest down in New Orleans. But kind of what some of the denominations are kind of the way that actually got started. It was like you go all out and you party during Mardi Gras. And then right after that, you come into a season where you give something up, and somehow that kind of offsets all the debauchery that you did. I do have to say this. You know, I used to party at Mardi Gras all the time. And the first year that I really got saved, I went down to Mardi Gras the next year to preach. And because I wanted to see what it actually looked like, because I didn't remember any of my previous Mardi Gras. And so I went right down to Bourbon Street, to where I used to go, and I brought a megaphone. And I went down to Bourbon Street, and my message for that day was Jesus Christ hates Mardi Gras. Needless to say, I was a young zealot. And so I went down to Mardi Gras. I couldn't believe it. I was on Bourbon. I mean, everybody was drunk and naked. I'm not talking bikinis. I'm talking naked. Naked. Naked, drunk people. And I'm on the corner with a megaphone. And my message was Jesus Christ hates Mardi Gras. And I'm telling you, when that came out of the megaphone, it was attacked, man. I was attacked. This voodoo doctor came out with this frog. I mean, out of nowhere, this voodoo dude, he came out with this frog, man, and he was trying to do some kind of frog hex on me. I don't know how I got off on that, but it might be to keep some of you from going to Mardi Gras next month. So So look here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 15, but it's not about, because that's kind of the thing, you know, live it up and then, you know, you give something up and that bounces out fast, and just about drawing close to God. And this is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 9, verse 14, where the disciples of John came to him saying, "Hey, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." In other words, now Jesus is away from us, and so we fast to get closer to God. You know what separates you from the mind and presence of God? Your and mine, our carnal mindset. And what happens is, especially over the course of the year, we just get so numb and we get so carnal. See, to be carnally minded, that's not necessarily sinfully minded. It's just we get so numb to God. We get so desensitized from the world. We pick up all this gunk and all this kind of stuff. And what fasting is, man, it's like spring cleaning. It's like an overhaul. Fasting is one of the most healthy things that you can do for your body physically. Do you know there are fasting clinics where people go, not even Christian, it's so healthy for your body. Because when you begin to fast, your body turns inward and begins to feed on all the bad stuff on the inside of it. All of your toxins and your old fatty cells. There's reports of people that even had tumors and different things on the inside of their body. And when they fasted, your body actually eats those things and detoxes them. It's one of the healthiest things that you can do for your body. It's like it makes your body like a furnace, and it just eats up all the bad stuff inside. Your mind, man, our minds get so gunked up over the year. Fasting, it's like spring cleaning for your mind. It gives you a new framework for your soul, for your emotions. And then obviously spiritually, it's one of the healthiest things that you can do. And this is what Jesus was talking about in verse 16, when he says, "No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved." Here's what God's saying here, okay? Just kind of let me fill you in on the wineskin, okay? In Bible times, when they would, when the way that they would package wine, or instead of bottles, they would have these wineskins. And to start out, when they were new, they were very soft and they were very flexible. So when they put the new wine in it, when the wine would ferment, it would be able to expand in those soft, flexible wineskins. But after a while, the wineskins would become old. They would become hardened. They would become very callous, very, very, very fallow. And so if they put new wine in an old, hard wineskin, when that wine fermented and began to expand, that wineskin would break and the wine would spill out. Well, see, what Jesus is likening this to, and what he's talking about fasting, is God wants to do a new thing in your life, but you have to have a new framework to contain it. Our hearts get hardened. Our consciences get seared. Our mind gets all kind of gunk in it. But God wants to do an incredible new thing in your life in this new year. But you've got to have a new container to hold the new thing that God wants to do. Because guess what? It's going to expand far beyond anything you could ever think or imagine. But we've got to get the old out. How many, do I have any hunters? Any hunters in the audience? Like two? Don't y'all like guns? Don't y'all shoot? Does anybody kill anything? Over Christmas holidays, I bought my son a BB gun, and we tried to go out and kill a bird in his grandmom's yard. Anybody kill anything? Duck hunters? Deer hunters? Is that it? Well, okay, this isn't going to relate. But I'll tell you, from South Louisiana, once again, I used to hunt ducks, and just to let you know, in South Louisiana, if you want to go to the real good duck places, you just keep going south to the swamps and the marsh, and when you get to the areas that they no longer speak English, that's the best duck hunting. I'm talking Cajun major. I'm talking, you need a translator to understand what in the world's going on. But anyway, so I used to go duck hunting a lot, and you know, I'd clean my gun, and it would hunt, and it would work, and it would all be fine. But after hunting season, what I do every year, once a year, I would take my gun apart and I would thoroughly clean it. And when I take it apart, I take off the choke, I take out the big trigger mechanism. And when I look at that trigger mechanism, yeah, it was dirty, but it didn't seem that bad. And the gun was working, you know, and how bad could it be? But what I would do is I would pour some gasoline in a little bowl. And when I put that trigger mechanism in that gasoline, I mean instantly, just all this gunk and dirt and all this stuff came to the top. And I could not believe that over the course of the year, my gun had gotten that dirty. Listen, that's like our brains. I'm saying, oh yeah, we're coming to church and we're doing it, and we, you know, it doesn't, whatever. But what happens is you have to have a time. See, what does the Bible say? God's a consuming fire. That his word is a refiner's fire. We have to have a season where we give God our brains and dip him in his refiner's fire, so to speak, and let all the gunk be purged out. See, when you receive Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And that Holy Spirit is always led by God. But Jesus said, the Spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And your flesh is always at war with your spirit. What fasting does, it just gives you a season where finally you can shut your flesh down a little bit so your spirit man could wake up. And finally, it gives your spirit man a chance to kick your flesh's butt. That's right, I said, but in church. I mean, what should I say? His rear end, his bottom parts. Look. Do you see what I'm saying? God wants to do all these miracles in your life, but your flesh, our flesh, it's so strong. It's like the big bully of your life. And your flesh is constantly leading you, and your flesh is constantly, and your spirit's just down there like, you know, on a respirator, just give him a breath of air. We're constantly, man, if you think about it, we're just constantly stuffing our faces and watching movies and just all the stuff and football. I don't know about you. I've had so much football. It's like the manna that ran out of the nose of the children of Israel, man. It is just like they've extended this bowl season to like 38 days. And lo and behold, well, the Jaguars won last night. I'm a huge football fan, but I just don't think I can take another nail bite, heart attack game next weekend. The season's got to end. But you see, our carnal man, we're thinking about what bills we have to pay. We're thinking about how to do this and how to do that. And we're watching football and where we're going to go eat. And we're worried about this. And this person's made us mad. And constantly our carnal mind, not sinful, just carnal, subject to the natural senses. It's strong and it's constantly being fed. Look, we've got to feed our spirits. We've got to give God a chance to come alive. And here's the awesome thing. I'm going to show you this. When we finally just give God just a short season, just 21 days, and shut down some of that carnality and allow our spirits to come alive, it's like your spirit and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is like, okay, let's get to work. I only got 21 days here. I mean, and here comes miracle, and here comes healing, and here comes favor, and here comes a renewed purpose, and here comes, you know, addictions broken off you, and all these incredible things, and here's this spring cleaning for your body, for your soul, for your mind, and get the gunk out and the cobwebs out, and then God just fuels in you, fills you up with his spirit, his presence, his fire, and he sets you on the right path so that your new year in 2008 can truly be a happy new year. Okay. So watch this. I mean, I've had so many things. You know, during last year's fast, that 21 days of prayer and fasting, these are just the ones that I can remember. There's so many miracles I can't remember. We had a couple of ladies in our church that could not get pregnant. One, it had been for 5 years. I don't know how many babies she had lost. That was her big thing over the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Miracle happened. She got pregnant. We had one woman get healed from a tumor. We had something with their spine. We had a person get healed. We had a couple that had a child, I think, that was 18 or 19 that had just been lost for 6 months living out They don't know where that child be found. We had a couple of marriages that, to be honest, even I was like, no way it's too bad. It's too over. God do an incredible miracle and turn those marriages around and save those marriages. We had so many testimonies of miracles, and you'll see some of them as you go to that Awake 08 website, the ones for this year. My three big prayer requests for last year that I gave to God over the 21 days of prayer and fasting, by the end of the spring, two of them had been answered. These are just personal things I was believing God for. Two of them had been answered. And I got to December, and I was singing about this year, and I was thanking God for two out of three. Come on, two out of three ain't bad. You know, isn't there a song? Two out of three ain't. Is that a Cajun song? Y'all don't like that song? By the way, I like country music. Somebody gave me a country CD. I like that CD, by the way. So I want to let you know I'm a country music fan. So I'll be waiting for all the nice emails to come in this week to combat all the mean ones. All right. What's that talking about? Two out of three. Two. Come on, sing it together. Two out of three ain't bad. So I was singing two out of three ain't bad. And I was thanking God, and I was going to take, okay, that third one and put it in a couple more this year. And did you know, by Christmas this year, God answered the third one. He did three for three in miracles. And so that's why, if you're wondering, at the end of the service, when we have the special Imagine offering, turn in your connection card. If you're wondering, what are your two or don't, I know you think you have 50, and we all have 50. We all have 100. Let's just boil it down to two or three. And if you're wondering what those are, it's whatever's on your heart the most. That's where I say you need to start with whatever's pressing on your heart the most. I'm going to write those down. You don't have to put your name on it. Man, we're going to start this Wednesday night. It's the first day of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. We are going to bombard heaven, and we are going to see God do some supernatural things in your life personally and in the church corporately as we go to him in prayer and fasting. I'll get to that, but just hearing from God and the direction and the miracles. Look here in Jesus, in Matthew chapter 17. Watch this. Matthew 17. Now tune in here, because I need you to take your situation. I want you to think about your situation. That thing in your life that's most troubling. That thing in your life that you would really like to change. That thing in your life that you would really like God to change. I want you to think about that, and I want you to look at this principle here in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, just to kind of tell you what's going on. This guy, there's a family here, big, big problem. The father has a son. The son is demon-possessed, and so the boy goes out, and he throws himself in the fire and tries to drown himself and all this kind of stuff. How many of you know this is a family problem? I mean, this is something, it's been going on. This is serious. And the guy comes to Jesus. He says, hey, look, I brought my boy. I brought this situation to your disciples, and they couldn't cure him. They couldn't cast him out. They couldn't cure him. And, of course, Jesus cast out the demon and healed the child. And in verse 19, the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Now watch. I want you to think about your life, what you really want to see changed for this year, or set free from, or whatever that thing. And you might be saying, you know, you've prayed about this, you've brought this to God. God, why won't this change? Why can't this thing be fixed? Just apply your own situation. Look what Jesus says. He says, because of your unbelief. In other words, the problem's not with God. The problem is not that God doesn't want to heal, that God doesn't want to do a miracle. The problem is we're just so carnally minded. And guess what? That's okay. We live in a carnal world. This was Jesus' disciples. In other words, Jesus' disciples came and said, Lord, why couldn't we fix this thing? Why couldn't this change? You know what Jesus said? He said, guys, I'm just telling you the truth. You're just too naturally minded for this kind of miracle to happen. And he goes on to say, he says, look, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. Think about your mountain. Think about your challenge. Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Verse 21, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and... Now, whoa, 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 whoa. Jesus, I thought that you said that the reason that it didn't go out was because of unbelief. Now you're coming back around and saying that this doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. Do you see the connection here? It's not that fasting makes the miracle happen. It's that fasting draws us closer to God so God can fill us with the faith and the power and His presence so that we can believe God for the impossible. This guy had a situation in the natural. It was just too impossible. It had been that way for so long. It was too really hard to believe God for change. See, God doesn't respond to need. He responds to faith. And what Jesus is saying, there are going to be some things in your life. This kind of, you fill in the blank. This kind of depression. This kind of sexual addiction. This kind of pornography problem. This kind of drug addiction. This kind of hurt that you've suffered. This kind of abuse in your past, this kind of unforgiveness, this kind of regret, whatever that situation, this kind of you fill in the blank will not change unless through prayer and fasting, because this thing has become a mountain in your life. There is a stronghold in your mind, and the only way to get that stronghold out is to draw near to God in prayer and fasting. Let God give you a new wineskin, pour in some new faith, pour in some new power, pour in some new hope. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, what was impossible becomes possible. That mountain that seems so huge to you. You know what this language is? Say this mountain, move and be cast into the sea. Nothing will be impossible. Jesus likens to this mountain. It's just a rock. What do you throw into the lake? Rocks. Jesus is saying the thing that once seemed like this gigantic mountain, it'll just be like a rock that you throw into the lake. Because guess what? With God, nothing is impossible. But there are some things, gang, they will not change unless you draw near to God in prayer and fasting. Can I have a good amen to that? So, look, I'm going to close here. I want to go over the 99 blessings, the 99 supernatural blessings. Aren't y'all glad we have time in the service? Hey, how did y'all like parking at the 11:30 service today? Huh? Who loves you? Who loves you? Who takes care? Who has seen your suffering? See, I'm not like God. I do reward for works. God's grace, but I've seen your sacrifice and parking and putting up with the egress mayhem, and so we changed the service times. No, but we just needed margin. So, and I like country music. So, you had to be here. That's an inside joke. So, okay. Look at what God says. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. I want to give you not 99, but 9 things quick, real quick here as we close. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Number one, freedom in Christ. God wants you free of every kind of sin, addiction, bad habit, unhealthy emotion, depression. This God's saying, I've chosen this kind of fast. This is what I have chosen fasting for. It's not every day, but seasons in your life where everything gets broken off. And you have a fresh freedom in Christ. He goes on to say, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who were cast out? When you see the naked, even if they're on Bourbon Street at Mardi Gras, you see the naked, that you cover him, not hide yourself from your own flesh. Compassion. He wants to give us a freedom in Christ, and guess what? He wants us to actually care about other people. I know that's a new doctrine to some of us, But you know what happens? If you're like me, what do? You go, we get numb. We get, our hearts become hardened like that old wineskin. We see so much need and hurt around us, we just get numb to us. And then what happens? God sets up. He puts us in a position, you know, like you're praying for your neighbor to go to church. And then lo and behold, or to get saved or whatever. And lo and behold, God set up this thing. You're with your neighbor, you know, and your neighbor comes out to talk to you. But what? You don't want to talk to him. You're just like, the man, something's missing in my life. You know, and you're just like, oh, really? Good luck. Happy New Year. I got to go watch more football. You know. But the Holy Spirit on the inside is saying, no, you know, let me out. You know, you've been praying for this. I'm setting this up. But don't we all get that way? I can remember times I'm on the plane, man. I'm just too carnal. Someone's open. They're, you know, and they're telling me this or that. I'm just kind of like, can I take a nap? But the Jesus on the inside of me wants to help them. We have lost compassion in the body of Christ. God wants us to be a compassionate people, which is why also for this 21 days of fasting, we are believing God. We are going to get a dream center either in Springfield or at the beaches. And I'm telling you, we are going to reach all the people that nobody wants. We are going to get out there with the homeless and everything else. We're already doing it, but we need a hub, man. Okay. So caring for people, compassion. Number two, I'm going to kind of go over these. Look what happens. It talks about in verse 8, it says your light's going to break forth. So number 3, God's going to give you guidance. It says your healing shall spring forth speedily. God wants to bring you healing, and he wants to do it quickly. Healing quickly in your mind, in your body. Look what it says, your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your real guard. You know what fasting does? It puts us back in God's right timing, where the favor of God is ahead of us. Don't you like winding up someplace and you can tell God's already been there for you? He's already opened the door. He's prepared that promotion. That's a God promotion. You know what that means? That means good things are going to come from that. And when God puts you somewhere, guess what? Man can't take you down from there. But when man puts you somewhere, man can take you back down. And the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. It's protection. So you got the favor of God in front of you. You got the protection of God behind you. You're right in the middle. You're not ahead of God, to the light, to the right, to the left, behind God. You're in God's perfect timing. He's giving you guidance, the purpose for your life, wisdom, direction, all that stuff starts to make sense now. He says, look, you shall call and the Lord shall answer. Answered prayer. Verse 9, you shall cry, and he will say, here I am, an awakening to the presence of God. And then over in verse 14, it says, you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Or in some translations, it says, you will finally experience joy in the Lord. Happiness. Happiness. This is what fasting does. It is like a turbo octane. We shut down the carnal. We open the spiritual. Read the Bible. I want to commend those of you who did the read the Bible in a year last year. We have that going on again this year. If not, if you're a new Christian, just start in the Gospel of John. Just read half a chapter a day or whatever it is. But when we shut down the carnal and we open up the spiritual, all of a sudden, this is what happened. God comes in. I'm talking powerful. And here comes freedom. From sin, from addiction, from depression, from all those things. Here comes healing. Here comes guidance. Here comes favor. Here comes protection. Here comes answered prayer. You know why? The big thing about answered prayer, you're praying for the right things and you're praying in faith. Here comes, you're awakened to the presence of God. All of a sudden, all these things in the world you thought were making you feel good. I'm telling you, man, you start fasting and you get an encounter with God. It's over. You start learning where you come in and you experience the presence of God and you have an encounter with him. When you get that kind of high, it is on, friend. All of a sudden, the things of the world, they don't do it for you anymore. They don't work anymore. They're not that fun anymore. They don't do it for you on the inside anymore. I'm telling you, the presence, one encounter with God will change your life. This next 21 days, will you give God a chance? Will you participate in some way and say, Stovall, I'm in. I'm getting a God encounter. I'm getting free from the gunk. I want God's miracles in my life. I'm ready for newness in my life, and I'm ready to finally have a real happy new year where the happiness I'm experiencing is coming from the inside. Did you know a relationship with Jesus is the only thing where you can be totally fired up, man, and feeling great on the inside while you're doing nothing? You can just, man, when you start fasting, you know what? Here's what's going to happen. You're going to start fasting. You're just going to be driving, and all of a sudden, you're going to feel this like, ooh. Guess what? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You're going to be like, man, this is good. It's all of a sudden. You get a few days in the fast. You don't want to eat, man. It's too good. You start feeling the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, you start having encounters with God. You start weeping in the presence of God. Man, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, miracles begin to happen. See, this, you know what Isaiah 58 is, these nine blessings? This is the normal life God wants us to have. Unfortunately, we're just too naturally minded most of the time. So God has ordained fasting just to take a season. Get back on the right track, get in the supernatural flow of God, and start experiencing the abundant life and the blessings that God has for you. Can I have a good amen?
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.